Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Hi, I'm Kelly Corrigan. You've probably never heard of me. Maybe you did. I wrote some New York Times bestsellers. I gave a TED Talk. But the reason I'm in your ear now is to invite you to listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders. We talk to everyone from Bono to Amy Schumer, Spike Lee to Rainn Wilson, Krista Tippett and Bryan Stevenson about purpose, creativity, well-being, and what makes life worth living. Follow and listen to Kelly Corrigan Wonders on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This notion that presidents should come into office on day one and sign a bunch of executive orders saying, I declare as king that eggs shall be $2 a dozen, is kind of ridiculous, and I'm glad that President Trump didn't do that. I think the things that you're seeing in terms of making energy less expensive, making the federal government work better, ultimately, if they don't bring prices down, Trump will face political backlash for it. But I think this idea that on day one, a president is supposed to sign a bunch of executive orders when Barack Obama never really did, George W. Bush never really did, right. Trump's first term never really did. It's an unusual way to go about policymaking.
There's a CNN expert talking about the price of eggs, which now apparently they only care about being high since Trump has been the president for a week. It's pretty unbelievable. Let's talk to our friend Steve Moore about it. He knows everything economics. He's a distinguished fellow in economics at the Heritage Foundation and a Trump economic advisor. Steve, welcome back to the show. We're glad to have you.
Hi, Annie. Boy, my head is still spinning around from that amazing first week. By the way, it's amazing, isn't it? It was exactly a week ago, almost to this hour, that Donald Trump took the oath of office. It seems like it's been a lot more than that, hasn't it?
Yeah.
Given what's happened in the last 7 days. But I wanted to say something about this issue. But by the way, I'm amazed at what this man does. I've gotten to know him, you know, very well personally and spent time around him. The guy's indefatigable. He just does not stop. He's like the Energizer Bunny. He keeps going and going and going and going. And remember last week, you know, he gets up at, 5 o'clock in the morning, goes to the prayer breakfast. Then he meets for tea in the White House with Joe Biden. And then he has the big lunch. And then he has the swearing in on the Capitol with all the, you know, millions of people watching, and then he starts signing executive orders, and then he goes and does, you know, he has all the balls and all that stuff and all the parties to go to, and then he has, you know, they had that big thing in the arena, you know, that because they couldn't, and then at 1 o'clock in the morning he's still signing executive orders. It's like he's been up for 20 hours.
Yes.
I mean, it's really an amazing thing. But on this issue that you were talking about prices, I want to make sure people understand this. We're not going to overall cut prices. In fact, we don't want to. Deflation can be even more harmful to an economy than inflation. What we want to do is stabilize prices so they don't keep going up. You see what I'm saying? So we might see a reduction in gas prices as we produce more oil. And I think we could get the price of oil down to $2.50 a gallon because Trump is going to produce a lot of energy. And maybe food price, eggs prices will probably come down as well. But the point is, what you want in a good monetary system is just stability in prices. And so that's what I think. I mean, we're going to bring that inflation rate back down to 1 or 2%. Remember, it went to 9.1% under Biden in 1 year.
Yeah, you know, and I think that what Americans want is a whole lot of things. Lower prices or affordable prices is certainly one of those things. Border security. We've seen President Trump that he's making good on his commitment there to secure the border.
Sure.
And, you know, this whole package deal that comes with this new administration. But still, 1 week into this, his presidency, he has delivered on so much that he committed to the American voter.
It's amazing. It really is. And he doesn't stop. And how about his big coup with Colombia? where he said, you know, if you're not going to take these, you know, migrants back, you know, we're going to hit you with 25% tariff. And about 30 minutes later, they said, okay, we'll take the migrants back. So he's an expert negotiator. By the way, I don't agree with everything that he's done. I agree with about 80% of it. I mean, but, you know, I thought, incidentally, I want to just tell you, because I have some friends that went through this, because, you know, I live in the swamp and I live near the Capitol. And there were hundreds and hundreds of people who were unjustly imprisoned.
Yes.
On January 6th. Now, I do believe those who went in the Capitol and anyone who did anything to assault the police, they should be, you know, they should have gone to jail for sure. But there were a lot of hundreds and hundreds of innocent people who were just out there exercising their First Amendment rights. And what they went through was hell. Was hell with the FBI going after them and putting them in jail, sometimes solitary confinement. So I am so, so pleased, because I have friends that just went through horrible, horrible times that are now freed thanks to Donald Trump, and they never should have been arrested in the first place. So, you know, those kinds of things. I mean, I'll give you an example, one I really like. You know, it's just this patriotic thing. But from now on, at all of our embassies and all our government buildings and so on, there will only be one flag. It will be the American flag. We're not going to have the Palestinian flag. We're not going to have the LGBTQ flag. We're not going to have the Pride flag. And we're not going to have, you know, the Black Lives Matter flag. It's going to be the United States of America and the Stars and Stripes. And I love that one.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think that his vision is definitely being implemented the way he committed to the voter. I know I don't have a lot of your time, but I did want to ask you this one question about the Trump tax cuts. Trump is committed to making sure that they get extended. What's at stake for the American taxpayer right now on whether or not Congress and the president can come together and get that big, beautiful bill done?
Well, it's one big, beautiful bill. It's going to be a dogfight. You know, the Republicans only have a 2-seat majority out of 435 in the House. So that means they can only lose one or two Republicans. So you've got a lot of Republicans say, well, I want this and I want that, you know, and so it's going to be difficult. But I think we are going to get that done. Trump has asked us, my group, to sort of lead the outside effort to get this done in terms of taxpayer groups and business groups all lobbying to get it done. And I just want to make sure that your listeners know, I know you know this, Annie, because we've talked about it. Doing nothing is not an option, because if we do nothing, then taxes are going to go up on the average family by about $3,000 next year, because all the Trump tax cuts will expire. So it's really critical we get this done. I'm spending, you know, not 20 hours a day, but I'm spending, you know, 10 hours a day trying to make sure that happens. And I do believe we can get it done by Memorial Day.
Well, we're going to continue to get updates from you as we march towards that big, beautiful bill, whatever the president is able to do. Thank you for being our expert on this. We always appreciate you, Steve.
Thank you, Annie. Take care.
You as well. Bye-bye. Steve Moore, the Distinguished Fellow in Economics at the Heritage Foundation, a Trump economic advisor. To me, the Trump tax cuts getting extended is not as exciting as it really should be, because when Donald Trump implemented these tax cuts, I certainly felt the benefit of it. We just need him to continue them. So it's like action is required for status quo, as opposed to, oh, we're going to pass a tax cut and you're going to feel it. Like, let's, for instance, talk about no tax on tips. Donald Trump goes to Vegas to kind of do a victory lap, so to speak. Do you know that a Republican hasn't won Nevada since 2004? It'd been 20 years since a Republican was able. I heard that on Fox this morning. I didn't realize that. Nevada is kind of a cherry on top. You know, when we think about Donald Trump winning 7 out of 7 swing states, especially with the way Nevada does their elections, they have mail-in votes. The ballot is mailed out to every voter. So you have valid ballots just sent out everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
Eek. Donald Trump still wins. No tax on tips. The story on the campaign trail was that the no tax on tips idea came from them visiting Vegas, and a conversation with a server materialized into this. And now he's on the other side of the election in Las Vegas, championing the victory, talking about no tax on tips in Las Vegas. And then he walks out onto the casino floor and is like, hey, guys. And then they start chanting USA.
Mm-hmm.
It's a wild time to be alive.
There are things that they are doing that are new. No tax on tips is one of them. And I'm speaking economically, of course, they're doing a lot new. But economically, another one, J.D. Vance said it last week, expanding the child tax credit. You know, so some of these things will affect us personally, and we will feel them. But more than that, you're right. It's an extension of what already exists that we've already experienced that's been good for the average person making a little bit more money, keeping a little bit more money. But I'm excited about the future of the country. And I know it's not so personal, but we've got to get spending under control, and that is a priority of the administration. So while that may not seem exciting to everybody, I'm excited about that.
Did you ever have to work for tips?
Heck yeah, I did. Golf course.
Well, I'm always here if you need a tip.
I know that. I mean, I my favorite is, though, when I solicit for mm-hmm. them. Because when they're unsolicited...
Did you ever actually work for them?
You know, I don't ever really actually work, period. But when I was there, yeah, I'd turn on the charm.
Have you ever worked harder to look like you were working than actually just working?
Yes. Yeah, I would say that's most of the time.
Blink twice if you're doing it right now.
I can't do that because I'm on the camera. but I'll give you a couple tips, by the way, just mm-hmm. since we're talking about tips. Mm-hmm. One way to make yourself look busy is
here we go.
Is if you're ever like just kind of walking around and you don't have anything to do. I'm not saying I do that.
Carry papers.
But if you do, yeah, I'll carry papers. Carry papers and walk kind of fast. Makes it look like
should you shuffle the
just
papers
in a hurry? No, but you could have a couple of them. And
should you
like,
take them like by the earmark and just say like?
Oh, you don't have to always look at the papers. The papers are a prop. You don't have to pretend that you're looking at them, but you do have to hold them mm-hmm. because then it looks like, well, he must be en route to something.
Yeah. This information was here.
Right.
And it needs to get to there.
Yeah.
But with the right person.
Right. And then if you add a little speed to that.
I love that this is in the Steve Moore segment. Go on.
Yeah. So that's one way to do it. Another way is just to, you know, a lot of finger guns. Like you see somebody you haven't seen, hey, you know, boom, boom, boom. What have you been up to? How's your weekend? You know, and it feels like networking, but really you're not doing anything.
You big finger gun guy in the bathroom?
Not in the bathroom so much.
Urinal to urinal. Hey.
No, I can tell you.
I've never been. I don't know how it works in there.
That there's not a lot of talking in the bathroom.
Could be a pioneer.
Change things?
Yeah, go give it a shot.
Don't do that.
So to speak.
Don't do that. Please.
I go in there and I'll shoot my shot. And I'll make it worthwhile.
You can't even take yourself seriously.
You know another way to really waste time? Get on there. Have somebody come on who's reputable and really like... drill down, talk about the way the economy is going to change, and then be like, I'll be the guy that comes on after that guy.
Make the first guy look even better.
Yeah. That's your job, Ryan. Make everybody else look better.
We should consider that.
That should be a position on the radio.
I feel like now's not even the time to talk about our scholarship.
We've got just enough time if you want to.
I don't know what this means. Take it for what you will. I went to a Lutheran school. Ryan did not.
But oh my gosh, donations just jumped.
Yeah. I made our goal.
What? Amazing.
It's for the future.
Yeah, people in the 80s were like, the future will be fine. Now they've learned their lesson.
Yeah.
And I'm a part of that. I'm proud to be a part
LisaSTL.org/Annie.
L-E-S-A, Lisa, STL.org/Annie.
I talked about it at church yesterday. And I walked out of church with $750 of donations.
Wow. No kidding.
Yeah. That was so great. I go to a small little church with incredibly generous people. We're a very blessed little church. We don't have a school attached to our church. So when most Lutheran schools, I was going to say all, but there are some that are maybe joined to multiple churches. But most Lutheran schools are considered a ministry of the church that they're attached to. Most Lutheran schools, you know, when I talk about how it's affordable, every Lutheran school can have its own unique way of funding. Some Lutheran schools, you'll go and you just, what's the cost to educate? That's what you pay. there are some Lutheran schools that you go to, and the church funds the entire education of the child, which is wild. And then there are other various things that go in between. I send my kids to a Lutheran school where I'm not a member of that specific church that's attached to it. I'm a member of a different Lutheran church. Same thing. We go to church there every once in a while. But it's one of the things that I appreciate the most about a Lutheran education. And I say Lutheran because that's the kind of school it is. But you don't have to be Lutheran. I went to school with Baptists, Catholics, Presbyterians, Pentecostals, people who consider themselves non-denominational. In the 90s, it was mostly like Baptists that had kind of gone a little bit away from the core Baptist and became a little more non-denominational. I went to school with people who didn't have a church or a specific faith. And the climate that I was raised in the 90s, which is the same time, is so different today than it was in the 90s. My husband didn't go to a Lutheran school and didn't know anything about them really until not at a firsthand basis. I think he went to a Lutheran preschool, but when you're that little, it's preschool's preschool. But just the access to opportunity that you get when you attend this smaller school where there's a family atmosphere. I had a friend message me this weekend who attended an open house at one of the Lutheran schools, and she's like, it was so charming. Everything about it, just it, like she's going to work really hard on making it possible for her family. And you get the opportunity to send your turn your child over. Because when you send your kids to school, for the most part, I know your wife is at the same school your kids are, but for the most part, you're turning them over.
Mm-hmm.
And the environment that you are in when you're in a Lutheran school environment, there is a definitive understanding of what is right and what is wrong. And there is also the element of forgiveness, which you don't get at all in a public school because you can't really go that far. You could maybe have some sort of atonement or an apology or something like that, but it's not required. And I am very skeptical about, you could go to public school to public school to public school. Definitive right and wrong is not as definitive for me as I want it to be for my children to be raised in. These are the impressionable years. And I need to be hand in hand with my children's educators to know that they are being forged in what is good and right, and also, for me, biblical. And a Lutheran school makes that possible for them. And I'm hoping that I can partner with you to make that possible for another child here in the area. And if you've got $25 to donate, if you want to, like I always say, move the decimal however you need to, as generous as you can be, as God has blessed you, if a $5 donation is what you can do, it is a worthy donation. We can talk about the two pennies, the woman with the two pennies. LESASTL.org/Annie. LESASTL.org/Annie. Come help support us. Be a part of this. And if we get to $15,000, it's something that we can do in perpetuity and get that as an endowment. Let's take a quick break. More Annie Fry Show around the corner. Let's discuss this. How much do you want to see RFK Jr. reform our health system? Not at all? Some reform or complete reform? Annie Fry YouTube channel. Go there. Give us your vote. Leave us a comment. Tell us what you think. Like Janine said, some, but by some, I mean a great deal. I just don't think revamping everything is good, speaking as someone working in healthcare for 35 years. You agree with Janine? Let us know. We'll be right back. I'm in love with you.